Junkies.
All right, in this video, I've got some big things I want to show you about Augusta National Golf Club, the host site of the Masters. Only things you need to know and nothing you don't if you're betting, if you're playing in a Calcutta, if you're doing DraftKings DFS, whatever you're doing, this is your starting place for all your research on the Augusta National Golf Club. I used to caddy there in college. I'm born and raised in Augusta, Georgia, live here now. I think I know as good as anybody. And I've also worked with some smart people behind the scenes at Bet the Number. This is the Tour Junkies. I'm DB. I don't have my boy Pat Perry with me, but that's okay. You know, he would just slow us down anyway, really. But check out the podcast if you haven't already. We've got the DFS show, the betting show every single week. We're going to be dropping some big shows for the Masters. Tons of good content to help you bend over your bookie and make your DraftKings DFS screens green, baby. That's how we got to do it. And we've partnered with our friends at Bet the Number. And I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to open up the screen. I'm going to show you a few things. We're going to first look at the golf course at Augusta National. Look at the last 5 years and what the data at Bet the Number shows us about how this golf course plays. Then I'm going to open up the player profile page, show you some new additions to Bet the Number, and open up the custom model page that I have built early. It's a week ahead of time. I built it early for Augusta National. I want to show you my inputs and talk through a few names at the end that are kind of getting my attention. So before we do that, let's get into just some basics about Augusta National, right? So if you're new to this or you only watch during the Masters, just a refresher, right? In Augusta, Georgia, par 72, around 75 plus yards. Alistair McKenzie design, just beautiful design by Alistair McKenzie. Bobby Jones with some input as well. Water comes into play on only about 4 to 5 holes at Augusta. Not a ton of water out there. You've got a lot of overseed. You've got bent grass, rye grass, bent grass, greens running fast AF, okay? These greens are about 6,500 square feet in average, which is by tour standards, like average to above average, but they play much smaller. Tons of undulation and speed. And when you have that combination of undulation and speed, if you don't hit it to the right spot, it will roll off. And then you've got short grass areas all around the green. More on that here in a second. John Rahm is our defending champ. Won last year over Brooks Koepka. It was we thought it was going to be an epic battle on Sunday, and it was kind of not. John ends up winning by a few strokes there over Brooks. Scottie Scheffler won before that. Hideki, DJ, Tiger in 2019. DJ won the 2020 year in the fall. And historically, we see really good players win this. We don't see a lot of long shots. We don't see a lot of bombs. We see the top players in the world typically win the Masters. It's a true test through and through. And while the field is smaller than most majors, all the other majors, and are arguably weaker than all the other majors, the cream rises to the top and guys come into Augusta National peaked and ready to go. They are all clicking. So to beat the world's best, you really got to be one of the world's best. I would say the last long shot we had really win here was arguably Danny Willett in 2016. I mean, you know, Sergio won, Patrick Reed won, Hideki won, all in that 50-1 range. Those are considered long shots, I think, for a major championship for sure. But Danny Willett was really the last true long shot. Overall, let's talk about the golf course. And then I'm going to open up the screen, show you the course page on Bet the Number. 36-hole cut, top 50 and ties are going to play the weekend. You've only got around 88 to 90 players in the field. And so, you know, with 10 of those guys being old farts and a handful of those guys being amateurs that are going to be playing for their first time, they're going to be wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and, you know, half erect standing on the first tee. Like, those guys are probably out of it. So you can eliminate a lot of the field, especially in terms of winning or maybe coming in the top five. But, you know, arguably to make the cut. So this is an easy major to make the cut if you're playing well and you're a top player. We haven't seen a first-time winner here since 1979 when Fuzzy Zeller won. Typically, it's a younger but high-ranking official world golf ranking guy who prevails. And usually they've played in 2 to 3 Masters at least before they get their win. That is what the trends indicate. Experience at Augusta matters, okay? It definitely matters. As a caddy, it took me a while, even with caddy books and cheat sheets and being out there every freaking day, it takes a while to really understand the subtleties of these green complexes, where to miss, where the runoffs are, where the runouts are, you know, the proper angles to attack these greens. So experienced caddies, experienced players definitely matter more here than probably any other golf tournament that we play in the world. Incoming form also matters. Now, we have seen examples of bad incoming form and course history prevailing, like last year when Phil Mickelson finished runner-up. He was playing horribly, and he was playing on LIV. So, you know, everybody says that's an exhibition. He was playing terribly. He gets to Augusta National, boom. We've seen Fred Couples play well. We've seen Bernhard Langer play well. We've seen Bryson DeChambeau come in playing really well and then suck at Augusta. So, you know, both tend to matter when it comes to picking a winner. Hideki wasn't in the best form when he won, but he's still Hideki. And sometimes you don't know whether his form is just injury related or what. But you do typically have to come into Augusta National with some top tens, a win recently, and doing your thing in terms of form. So it's hard to come here and try to find it. If you got guys that hadn't really had it yet, this is a tough place to come and find it. Here's what I'll say. A plotter and a grinder, they get a bump, okay? Augusta is a constant test through and through with very little relief. Even the birdie holes, you got to focus. You got to pay attention. A bogey, a double bogey is there. It is there to be had if you mess up. You have to stay focused. And the biggest thing, I think, is appropriate aggression and being appropriately conservative at the right times at Augusta matter. Overly aggressive players tend to have trouble at Augusta National. Smart, calculated golf is key. So I don't like the highly emotional guys. I don't, you know, unless they are dialed, or this place is built for them, I don't like that. I want you to be a grinder. Now, have highly emotional guys won this thing? Yes, yeah, Sergio Garcia. It took him forever. It took him like 20 years to win this thing. But anyway, that's just my soapbox on mentality here at Augusta. Off the tee, there's a decent amount of room off the tee. You're going to see that. Like I said, very little water. You could be boned by a pine tree or two if you get a tough lie in the pine straw, bad angle. Distance is an advantage. We'll talk about that here in a second. The course has gotten longer. Trees have been removed over the years. To me, distance is key, okay? You've got to take advantage of these par fives. The par fives are beefy. They're beefy boys. And they only the longer than average drivers and better than average long iron players are going to get home in two, and that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a way to separate yourself in this field. And I will say this too, and this is somewhat anecdotal, but reading through transcripts over the years and talking to players and caddies and coaches that we've known through the years and talking to caddies that are full-time caddies at Augusta National today, the draw or fade bias at Augusta has kind of gone away. It used to be the draw bias was a thing. If you hit a draw, you're better off. I think that's kind of proven to be futile over the years. We've seen a mix back. It's really now just bomb it, like hit driver as much as possible. Don't take the driver out your hand and be pretty straight. But you do have some generous fairways and you do have some wiggle room with this rough. I think driving matters more than a lot of touts say that it does. That's just me. Approach play, this is ultimately it's a mid to long iron contest. We're going to see that here in a little bit. Around the green is definitely important. We'll talk through that a little bit, but I think it is overstated sometimes. Again, according to caddies, players, coaches we've talked to over the years, around the green play can obviously bail you out, but in terms of predicting success, I think it's sometimes overstated and overvalued in models, but it is a part of the model for sure. And obviously, you're going to be chipping off a lot of tight grass. So we'll talk about more of that in a minute. And putting. I just don't think putting is all that predictive at Augusta National. It is a unique golf course. Like I said, it took me years to figure out some of the subtleties at Augusta. It is stimp meter 14 speed fast. It's bent grass, pure as the driven snow. It's sub-air underneath that they can get as firm and fast and dry as they freaking want to get it. And there are so much subtleties and the way the property moves. It's not always what you think it is. It's not always what it looks like. So like reading them and the experience and all that matters. Good putters have done great. Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. Bad putters have done fine. Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama. Like bad putters have done well too. Some say lag putting is important. I think lag putting is, if you have to hit a bunch of lag putts, you're probably not winning. That's not really what we want. Putting from 10 to 20 feet on really fast bent grass is very important here at Augusta National. The greens have a ton of subtlety and slope, like I said, and so experience and green reading matters. Speed control is going to matter a good bit. Guys that raise their putting baseline on really fast bent grass putting surfaces historically are far better equipped to play Augusta National. All right, So that's kind of the soapbox to start. Let's open up our friends here at Bet the Number. Now, by the way, I do want to say this. Speaking of Bet the Number, if you've not already, you got to check it out. It is the up-and-coming, brand-new golf data platform out there. These guys started on January 1st of 2024. They have a license deal with the PGA Tour. The data is coming in. You know that it's clean. It's pure data, okay? And it's also coming in real time. As fast as the PGA Tour will shoot it out, the guys at Bet the Number are getting it. You can use code TJ to take $5 off the subscription on if you do the monthly and $50 off the annual subscription. I highly encourage you to give it a try. Try the monthly subscription. In fact, the first 7 days is free. You have a 7-day free trial if you want it at Bet the Number. Now, there are some other sites that do some good things like Bet the Number, but I will tell you the edge that Bet the Number has is this. The founders, the owners of Bet the Number have years of experience professionally on the PGA Tour, walking 30 to 40 golf courses a year, side by side, shoulder to shoulder with some of the best players in the world, about a dozen of the best players in the world, analyzing golf courses and analyzing player data to determine success, to determine what's the best way to attack a golf course. Now they are using what they've learned and they're putting it into this platform, into this software to help golf handicappers and bettors have an edge. And that's important. So what are some of the ways that they do that on Bet the Number? Well, they eliminate a lot of dumb stats. Okay. There's a lot of dumb stats out there that the PGA Tour collects. Okay. And there's some dumb stats that people make up. It's just noise. A lot of them are redundant. A lot of them are noisy. So Bet the Number eliminates that. They only give you the stats that they see matter. They're also creating their own stats based on combining stuff that the PGA Tour is doing to give you an interesting edge, right? They're giving you a custom model to go off of every single week. So if you don't want to do your own model, if you don't want to get into it, you just want to see the numbers, see the data, see what Bet the Number says, the guys behind the scenes at Bet the Number, see what they say, then you can just use the Bet the Number model every single week. Beautiful, okay? They give you all the course breakdown, all the course data, strokes gained data. It's all there on Bet the Number. And their whole goal is to attack golf betting and prop betting and golf DFS. That is their goal. There's no football. There's no NBA. They're not focused on anything else. Year-round, focused on developing golf gambling tools and handicapping tools. So that's what you're getting with the subscription. The link is in the description of the video and the podcast. You've got to try it out. Just try it out at least for this month. See what you think. The improvements are being made regularly. The live betting features, the live data features on Bet the Number have been amazing so far this year. We love it. Code TJ gets you the $5 off or $50 off annually. And if you are a paying Tour Junkies Discord member, you can DM myself or Pat on Discord and ask us for a one-time unique code to Bet the Number. And if you're a paying Discord member, we will give you a massive discount that is the biggest discount available to anyone on the internet for Bet the Number. We've partnered deeply with those guys and appreciate them supporting the Tour Junkies podcast. So if you support us, give Bet the Number a try, I promise. If you've been overwhelmed by golf data sites in the past, this is not what Bet the Number is trying to do. They're not trying to overwhelm you. They're not trying to inundate you. They're not trying to confuse you. They're trying to narrow it down, narrow your focus, give you the best and purest data you can have to make the best decisions. So, all right, that's my infomercial for today. Let's take a look at the golf course. This is the course page on Bet the Number. I've got the last 5 years selected from the year Tiger won in 2019. Guys are hitting about, you know, the fairways here, like I said, are wide. So you do have some forgiveness on the fairways in terms of off the tee. But, you know, and the rough is well, let me show you. Let me scroll down here. I'm trying to navigate my you can see the rough penalties here. This is rough penalty on approach shots. And there is a rough penalty. You know, a lot of that is because these greens are so firm and fast with such undulation that even though the rough isn't thick and your ball's not like, you're not getting these gnarly lies, it does interrupt a little bit of ball, you know, distance control, spin control enough that these penal greens are going to make you pay. But here's what I want to say. I love this bomber's paradise stat and bomb opportunity stat that Bet the Number calculates behind the scenes. This is a serious bomber's paradise golf course with 14 driver holes. In other words, if it's a par 4, par 5, keep sending it. And if you're 20 yards longer than average, you're gaining 2.11 strokes per round over the last 5 years at Augusta National. If you're shorter than average by 10 to 25 yards, look at what you're losing. Quite the gap there. That's really important to me. Like I said, you do have to take advantage of the par fives here. That's a big part of it. I'm going to talk about a little more, another stat off the tee that I think is really unique when I get to the custom model page and I show you the inputs for the custom model. So stay tuned for that. All right, what else do we want to look up here? I mean, you know, you can see the birdies, average birdies and bogeys, you know, per round based on PGA Tour averages. Birdies go down, bogeys go up. That makes sense for a major championship tournament. Scrambling's a little more difficult than average. Greens and reg, you're going to hit about 11.1 greens in regulation per on average over the last 5 years here at Augusta National. I love this feature here. You can look at past top performers. You can sort it by winners, top five, top 10. I like looking at the top five. I think it gives you enough sample size. These are all the players who finished in the top five since 2019. And you can just see where the green, where the dark green is. Obviously, this is everybody says Augusta's a second shot golf course, right? And for the most part, there's a ton of green on the second shot on strokes gained approach category. That is for sure. I want to talk more about strokes gained approach. I love the way Bet the Number handles this here, the approach box here to the right. Like I said, this is ultimately a mid to long iron test into large greens that play small and are difficult to hit. Shots from 175 yards plus, you have an average of 10 shots per round over the last 5 years come from that distance. That's above average. That's something to take note of. And to me, the biggest thing is, and this is, again, I'm going to talk more about this in a second, being able to hit it high and land it softly into these firm, fast, extremely undulating greens, I keep saying it, is super important. But you can see most of the shots come from the fairway or off the tee here, right? Very little rough shots. You really don't have any other. I mean, this is like pine straw, basically. Half a shot around you might hit from the, so two shots a tournament you might hit from the pine straw. But very little from the actual rough. The rest is from these generous fairways, and which we can account for that when we get to the custom model. You'll see that here in just a second. All right, let's look at around the green. Around the green distribution, like I said, I do think around the green is important, but based on who the people that we've talked to over the years, it's a little overstated at times. But, you know, chipping off of tight lies is going to be important. Last 5 years, an average of five shots per round come from the tight grass, and around 1.5 shots per round, or six shots per tournament come from greenside bunkers, with almost virtually zero shots coming from thick rough. Like, you got to be way off to find yourself in the thick rough and hitting a shot around the green here, or on certain holes, certain spots you could get it. So a little bit of around the green bunker play, but these bunkers are so pure, baby. I mean, they're not hard. So it's really more about who chips it well off tight grass. That's good. And that's something that we can, again, account for in the model. And then as far as putting, you know, this is my take on the putting thing. Like, I don't think it's as predictive as a lot of people think that it is. I just don't think it is. Let me get to my Scotty Scheffler. Let's get to Scotty here. I'm going to show you the player profile page. But yeah, on putting, like, some lag putting I think is important, but if you have to hit a bunch, I think you're in trouble. I said that the 10 to 20 feet thing matters. Maybe you could, you know, you could look at strokes gained putting at Augusta. I don't have that added into my model. Now that I think about it, I probably should. I should probably consider that. But that's a model input that you could do. I just want to show you a quick thing on the player page on Bet the Number. I've got Scotty pulled up here. Look at goofy Scotty doing his thing. I really liked bearded Scotty. We had that for a week. I thought that was nice at the players. I think you should bring the beard back. Anyway, you can hit this toggle here and see majors only, and you can see the majors performance for Scotty. Or you could type in Masters and see his Masters performances. You can see here he had two top 20s, and then bang, he won. And look at what he did. He gained a ton of strokes off the tee, ton of strokes on approach. That's what Scotty does, obviously. The year he won, he actually gained some strokes putting, which is also refreshing. And then obviously, you know, on the player profile page, you can sort by events. You can choose, I can do 33 rounds. I did 233 rounds. I could do 33 rounds if I wanted to. I could look at the last 33 rounds on a player and see this driving ball speed versus accuracy versus tour average, how he hits it. Like, this is going to be important. As you look at the player profile page, understanding the fairway and off the tee approach strokes gained versus the rough. And the, like, remember, there's not a lot of shots from the rough or other. There's a ton of fairway and off the tee long approach shots. So being able to, you know, you can even cut these out and just look at it from here. And you can see Scotty from 120 or from 175 to 225 is really a lot better than tour average in that category, which is important. Same thing with chipping, right? We know that chipping comes from the tight lies. So from the fairway type lies, he's really good at that too. Putting is where he sucks. So the player profile page, I just wanted to show you that. Now let's go to, let me work through the custom model here. I'm going to show you how this works. And I'm going to talk through some of the inputs on the custom model. Here I'm going to change this. You know, BTN has their own models. So you can come down here. I could click on the BTN Masters model. And I did use the BTN Masters model to help inform my DB's Masters model, which I'm going to show you right now. So now we're looking at DB's Masters model. Now, a couple things just here navigationally, if you're new to Bet the Number, and I'm just going to scroll up here. You have your drop down here for your model. I could do a player search here if I wanted to narrow down a player. Okay. We'll get to these here in a second. Odds, I don't know if they have top 10 odds out yet. Yeah, they don't have top 10 or whatever, but I could add or remove outrights, top 10s, top 20s when they load. All of these come from DraftKings Sportsbook. These are all coming live from DraftKings. DFS, same thing. I could take that away or add it. If I want to clean things up and I don't play DFS, I can do that. That's coming from DraftKings as well. Year-to-date stats, I could do top 10s if I wanted or wins. You can choose to show that if you like. I'm going to only show you some favorites. And by favorites, I mean guys that I think have some interesting storylines I want to talk through here in a minute. Recent form, you can toggle that on and off. It'll show you their last five tournaments. And event history, you could toggle that on and off too. I would leave that on, as it's very important at the Masters. And then here you have raw values. So if you want to look at, you know, actual values of how things are going, like if you, like I have ball speed in here, I want to see actual ball speed. I could do that. Or rankings, which is how most people look at these things. And then BTN score. So the BTN score, as well as a model score, is just a better way to understand the data. I'm not smart enough statistically to be able to explain it to you great, but it's basically like a Madden power rating, right? I mean, you could have a guy who's won in the category, he's ranked number one, and a guy who's ranked number six in a category, and you think there's a big gap there, and really there's not, right? One may be ranked 9.8 and the other be ranked 9.7 in that category, and that might be a little bit more of an accurate ranking. So it's up to you how you want to do it. We'll look at rankings here for simplicity. So I have it on rankings. Now let's talk about the model inputs, because this is really important. By the way, if you're enjoying this, if this is good, please hit the like button, subscribe to the channel if you've not already. Leave the podcast a five-star review and a rating on Apple if you don't mind. And again, Tour Junkie is putting out a ton of content this week. The Discord is going to be hopping this week. All the links are in our description here of the video or the podcast. Highly encourage you to join us in the Discord. It's the best way to support the Tour Junkies for sure. Okay. All right. So I've got this sorted by model rank, but I want to show you the model inputs. And I'm not going to go super in depth on this, but this is where you have your model inputs. So these are the inputs for DB's Masters 2024. I'm going to try to do this quickly. It's defaulting to the last 30 rounds. This is the global filter. So unless I change it, it's going to be 30 rounds. You can see in some of these others, I have much further zoomed out looks. Sometimes I think people get a little too short-term in their view. So there's certain stats I like short-term, and there's certain stats I like long-term, especially if it's a very specific stat. I want a long-term data set. I want to understand long-term, like zoom out, because I want enough inputs in that. So I'll zoom out on certain stats. Like I have 100 rounds here. I have 50 rounds here. I have 50 rounds here. So I just want people to understand that first off. And then, so for my off the tee data, I've got strokes hanging off the tee. I'm giving it a big weight. Okay. I've custom labeled it here. You can custom label this whatever you want. I've got it last 30 rounds, strokes hanging off the tee. And I've got a heavy weight because, like I said, I think people underweight strokes hanging off the tee here. I think driving the ball is critical here. I would consider apex height. It is actually measured off the tee with driver, but it's indicative of a guy. If he can hit it high with the driver, he's likely hitting it high with the irons. This is actually more about hitting it high with the irons than it is the driver. So I'm doing last 100 apex, and that's that unique. That's that unique approach that I was talking about. Being able to hit the ball high into these greens is going to be key. It really, really is. Very few low ball hitters, and it depends on the conditions. Very few low ball hitters play well year in, year out here. So apex height is in there for me. Ball speed is in there for me just because I want to see distance. These are low weighted, but I want to see it in the model, right? And some of this is built into strokes gained off the tee, right? Obviously, if you have high ball speed, you're probably gaining strokes off the tee with distance. I don't want to overweight this year, but I want to see it. Okay, and then we have our approach stats, and approach is pretty heavily weighted too. This is just standard, what I consider very recent form approach, last 30 rounds approach. That's what I consider pretty recent. And then I've zoomed out here last 50 rounds because of this very specific stat. Last 50 rounds, 175 to 240 yards. This is informed from the course page and the approach shot distribution that we saw a minute ago. This is a really important, a critical stat. And this is strokes gained from that area, not just proximity. Proximity is an extremely flawed stat. Strokes gained isn't perfect. It's way better than proximity. And I can dictate the lie here on Bet the Number. So I've got it selected between off the tee for par threes and from the short grass, because that's what we get the most of here at Augusta National. And I've got the minimum and maximum yardage here that I can customize to whatever number I want. That's a big, big, big weight in the approach play. That's how guys are going to differentiate themselves. And then we get to our around the green play. I don't want to get in all this because it'd take forever, but around the green, I've got it filtered to a lot of this overseeded, kind of overseeded rye on these 10 golf courses, which you can filter. You can see how all that kind of stuff can work. You can drop these filters in and knock that out if you like. And that is based on, where is it? I'm only giving around the green a 5% weighting. It's not a ton. That could change if the weather changes. That's another big key here. I'm recording this on the Tuesday before the Masters. If the weather looks a little crazy, which I don't think it's going to be, I think we're going to get a nice Masters with no thunderstorms, no trees falling down, very little wind and likely not cold. I think it's going to be like good, mild spring temperatures. That's great. So I've got this a low weight now. I would up it if the conditions look more difficult. And then I've got putting, a small weight on putting. And I've got this filtered to specific courses with really fast bent grass greens. That's recent as well. And then I've got tee to green. This is kind of how I do some course history, at least ball striking wise and around the green play. So I'm taking out putting here with tee to green, because putting is so variable, and this is Augusta only. So you can see it's filtered to one course. I'm just looking at the last 3 years at Augusta, their last 12 rounds. Maybe that's 3 years, maybe it's not, maybe it's less. But their last 12 rounds at Augusta, tee to green, I want to see that. And then bogey avoidance, which is a little bit also indicative of good scramblers around the green, because to avoid bogeys, a lot of times you got to get up and down. So this is building into that a little bit, but I zoomed out a bunch. Like historically, give me the last 100 rounds, and I label it no bogues. I like that. Because the other thing that I think that this indicates subtly is who's conservative when they need to be, right? And not overly aggressive, okay? So those are the model inputs. And you can see the model inputs labeled here, and I can sort by these columns quite easily if I need to. So now that I'm here, I'm going to take a breath. And I just want to just talk through some names. And me and Pat are going to talk through a bunch of names from a DFS and betting perspective on the shows this week. And those shows are probably going to drop on the weekend of the Valero. So Saturday or Sunday before the Masters. But I just, you know, these are some names that real quick, I was scrolling through, I highlighted that I just find are going to be interesting stories, right? So I don't want to talk about all of them, but let's just for kicks and giggles as we end the show, let's check this out. Of course, there's Scottie Scheffler, who it just can't stop winning. Almost won he was a four-footer away from winning or going into a playoff at the Houston Open. He's unbelievable right now. And the putter the last 3 weeks has been strokes gained positive. that spells trouble for nearly everybody. But he's 4-1 to win Augusta. Unbelievable. Scotty's just on an unbelievable run. Xander is enticing to me, and I am a Xander denier. But I will say to you early on, at 22-1, the way Xander is playing, I am intrigued. I think betting Xander at shorter than 20-1 is not super smart. But Xander is playing so well. And I do think that the Masters is, for a guy with as much experience as Xander has, I think the Masters could easily be the place he gets that first major. And he's just playing so well right now. Corey Connors playing hot right now, too. Now, who knows what he's doing at the Valero, the place where he historically has dominated. But he loves some Augusta National. I mean, his record at Augusta is tremendous outside of last year where he missed the cut, but he lost so many strokes around the green and putting, which he normally does. But he usually overcomes all that with elite ball striking, which he typically does at Augusta. Had an off year last year, that's for sure. But he is a course horse for sure. And Rahm, at 12-1, your defending champ, who has not gotten off to the hottest, like John Rahm-esque start at LIV. I mean, I track LIV. I bet on LIV. I do content for LIV. And Rahm has been somewhat disappointing so far. Like, everybody thought he was going to show up to LIV and win, and he hasn't. We'll see what he does in Miami. Joaquin Neiman, on the other hand, has dominated LIV this year. And I love Joaquin Neiman. Every time he's played Augusta National, he's gotten increasingly better. Missed cut, 40th, 35th, 16th, right? Now, the approach play bothers me some. And Joaquin Neiman is a better approach player. If you look at his historical approach data, it drops at Augusta. And I do think that's because of one fatal problem. I think he's a pretty low ball hitter. He's a low ball hitter. And I think he can't get it. He needs a blue chew, baby. Like, let's blue chew Joaquin to get it up a little bit, my man. Figure it out. Move the ball up in your stance. Do something. Get. I don't know. But he's got to get the loft up coming into these greens a little better. We'll see. Koepka at 20, I got to say I love. Like, if I'm betting right now, I love this. He's going to be, I mean, this is the major he wants to take down more than any other. And I don't know why he wouldn't. Like, he's just poised to do it. Koepka's interesting to me. Wyndham Clark's playing in his first Masters, which sounds crazy. He is a perfect fit for this course, like perfect. But it's his first Masters. He's the ultimate test of experience mattering. You know, then you have Ludvig, who is also a perfect fit for Augusta National, but he's like, what, 50? Can he drive yet? Are they going to let him drive a courtesy car? He's like a newborn and no experience, but we'll see. Keegan, to me, has always been puzzling. He's a high ball hitter. He hits it far. He hits his mid to long irons fantastic, yet he just can't do it at Augusta. He's not good at Augusta. And then he comes into this week, into this year, not in great form. But then again, we're not going to have seen him for a couple weeks. Like, he is one that is very enticing to me. Like, not a lot of long shots when you make the bet are actually going to have a real chance. I actually think Keegan has a real chance. He's a major champion. He's won a couple big dick events. And like I said, he checks all those boxes, but man, something he can't get over at Augusta. I mean, obviously he's a terrible putter, but you know, and then you've got some interesting names here. I'll just run through them quickly. Like, I mean, Siwoo tends to play Augusta National pretty well, just consistent, not a ton of high finishes, but consistent. And he's off to a really good start this year. Doesn't hit it high and he doesn't hit it far. That's what kills him. But my man Siwoo, I'd love to see it. Sam Burns is a guy who comes into Augusta in far better form than normal. And it's, you know, the ball striking has been better in 2024. It hasn't been great the last four tournaments, but the ball striking overall in 2024 has been really good. He had his best finish ever at Augusta last year with a T29. Be interesting to see what he's doing. Cantlay intrigues me because we're not going to have seen him since the Players. Like, what are you doing? Cantlay, you know, not in great form and not playing. Like, I don't understand it. And I say this too, like, I think Cantlay is sometimes too aggressive. I think that probably hurts him at times at Augusta, although the approach play has been quite good. So maybe not. Cantlay is a puzzling one to me, considering how little he's playing leading up. Sungjae is like your opposite test of Keegan, like really good course history, but not playing great at all. Doesn't look like typical Sungjae ball striking coming in. So that'll be a fun one. Sahith in his first Masters last year finishes ninth, which is just fantastic. And now his ball striking is better coming in this year than it was last year. I mean, I don't know that Sahith could win, but I could easily see another top 10 or even a top five, like kind of a no contention top five for Sahith. I see it happening. DJ, as always, is deadly. He's always live at Augusta. Has already won once at LIV. He's playing this week at Doral. They haven't teed it up yet as of recording this, but he's won at Doral. If he shows some form at Doral, watch out. I think these LIV guys playing Doral is going to be a much better performance test and indicator than last year. Last year they played in Orlando at the Crooked Cat, this terrible golf course. Doral is a far better test. So I think that's going to be a fun one to watch from a LIV perspective. Speaking of LIV, you also have Patrick Reed, who last won here in 2018, which means his five-year major exemption is done. As far as I know, he's not qualified for any other major starting now. So if he wants to keep playing in majors, he's got to make his hay in majors. So, and he's kind of a guy who just does well at Augusta regardless of conditions, like good or bad. He feels a little bit weatherproof, and he's not a long hitter, and he doesn't hit it far or doesn't hit it high. But, I mean, the short game – and his experience around Augusta tends to bail him out. Of course, you have Tiger, right? We might see Tiger play. Who knows? I don't know what to make of Tiger. Nobody could believe it when he won in 2019. It does seem like from a health perspective, he's not even the same. I don't know, man, but hopefully he plays. Hopefully he plays and pegs it up. And Minwoo Lee. God, everybody loves Minwoo Lee, and he does seem to fit this place to a T, but the iron play continues to be bad, and you cannot have bad irons at Augusta National. I did say that driving it far, hitting it high matters, and Minwoo does those things and checks those boxes. He's also, typically got a solid short game, but if your iron play is as bad as Minwoo Lee's is, it's just a recipe for getting bounced at Augusta. It's tough to make it up year after year. So that's kind of what we see with Minwoo. All right, that's it for me. Like I said, please check out Bet the Number. Please check out the Discord and all the other Tour Junkies content coming out. Hit the like button. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Thank you for watching. May your screens be green and bend over your bookie. See ya.